When you get a little bit older, your ears sometimes play tricks on you. And when we began the service today and I walked down the aisle, I saw the Moore family sitting right where they're sitting. It's about where they sit each time they're in first service. And then we began to sing that first song, Daryl. And I heard this tremendous voice coming from that direction. And my first thought was, David Moore's been holding out on us. And then I turned around, and there was Mike Mitchell just singing his heart out. That's right. Well, a little levity before the serious moments began. On the road to Easter, you and I are going to experience storms in our lives. It is inevitable. It's just the way life is. Life is a lot like the weather. Someday, the sun's shining, the air's crisp and clean and clear, and you couldn't ask for a more perfect environment. And then some days, the storms rage. The sirens go off. The weather stays on for hours at a time, warning us that we're in the pathway of danger. Some days you feel great, and some days you're not sure you can put one foot in front of the other. Some days the news is good, and you laugh, and at the end of the day you say, what a joyful experience today was. And some days the news is not so great, and you end the day and you say, thank the Lord, this day's over with. I hope I never have another quite like this. But I want to talk to you this morning on the road to Easter about the fact that you can never judge your security by your circumstances. The sun shines or the storm rages, but God is still good all the time. The doctor gives you bad news, or good news comes, news of rejoicing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The sun shines or the storms rage, and we still trust in Him, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we would ask or think. In the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, we shall begin reading with verse 22. But it is interesting to note that two events take place prior to the 22nd verse. John the Baptist is beheaded. A sad day indeed for the cause of Christ. The next thing we read about is that the 5,000 are fed. A glorious occasion revealing the sovereignty and the sufficiency of our great God. And then the 22nd verse. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Heavenly Father, help us this morning to learn the principles of your word, that when storms rage, bad news comes, difficulty confronts us, and disaster is ahead, we still can lean upon the everlasting arms and trust you and know that you are good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just for a few moments, let me share six principles with you that I have found to be true from this passage. The first principle is this: when the storms come, you must recognize as a Christian that God is the one who places you in the midst of the storm. Now, that is not acceptable with modern theology. We've come to believe in America that if it's good, we give God thanks, and if it's bad, we blame the devil. There are two problems with that. One of them is faulty thinking on our part, and the other is faulty theology when we consider who our sovereign God is. Here's why it's faulty thinking. What you perceive to be good can be bad, and what you perceive to be bad can often turn out good. In the case of Jonah, he certainly thought the whale swimming toward him with an open mouth was the worst possible thing that could happen. But he quickly learned that had it not been for the whale swallowing him, he would have never again seen dry ground, for the whale gave him up on dry ground. What I think's bad, God means for good. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil," but God meant it for good. "You meant it to destroy me," but God meant it to deliver me. So in the midst of the storm, please understand that it is God who places you there. In the storm, they were in the center of the will of God. He put them on the boat. Go back and read the passage. He made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't just a circumstance. This wasn't just a situation of their choosing. This wasn't the devil forcing the situation to happen. This was God saying, "I'm going to put you on this boat, and I'm going to send you to the other side." And in the middle of the night, a storm began to rage, and they were there at the bidding of Almighty God. And listen, folks, until you and I recognize that, we're going to fight against the will of God and the way of God in our life when difficulty comes. Do I like stormy days? Do I like difficult times? Do I like bad news? Do I like obstacles in my pathway? Do I like circumstances that seem to be out of control? Not one moment do I like them. But do I trust my God who places me there? Yes, every moment my God is a sovereign God. And what we may need to know, a lesson for some other time, is that some storms are for our correction, while other storms are for our confirmation. They make us more and more like Jesus Christ. The second principle that you have to see is that while you are in the midst of the storm, He is praying for you. Jesus, in verse 23, is found on the mountain by Himself praying. He absolutely knew where His disciples were. He absolutely knew what His disciples were going through. And the Hebrew writer says that He is our great high priest. And while we are in the midst of the storm, we can absolutely be assured that Jesus is praying for us. Now listen, I want to get your attention. I love it when the church says, "Pastor, we've been praying for you." I got a call this morning at 6:30 from a former member, Bobby Fortenberry. He calls me about once a month, and he says, "Pastor, I need to pray with you before you preach today." And what a thrill that is. There are some other pastors in town that text me on Sunday mornings. One particularly this morning texted me and said, "What a great day. We get to preach Jesus today." I love that. But I want to tell you, no matter who on this earth is praying for me, what really thrills my soul is that Jesus this morning is looking down on Conway, Arkansas, and praying for Don Chandler specifically and purposefully. And the good news is He's doing the same thing for every one of you. When you're in the middle of the storm, recognize you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why, he goes to funerals with you. He goes to the doctor's office with you. He sits right there by you in the hospital room. He's there when you have trouble and trial and difficulty. He helps you make your decision. He helps you face your giants. He fixes problems. He heals. He touches. He changes everything. He's praying for us today. There's a third principle. When I'm in the middle of a storm, He not only put me there and prays for me while I'm there, He's about to come to me. Now, I want you to get this. The very thing that was the storm for the disciples was the pathway for Jesus to come to them. No, you didn't hear that, or somebody to shout it. The very thing that was the storm for the disciples, the angry waves, was the very pathway for Jesus to come to them. When He began to walk on the water, everything changed. What had troubled them, what was over their head, was under His feet. What was in control of them, He controlled. What was about to put them under, He was walking on it. He's Lord over all. And the very thing that troubled them was the pathway that brought Jesus Christ to them. Now, we don't all always see that because we're seeing and we're looking and we're watching in doubt. But the very thing that causes me the issue that I'm so concerned about is the pathway that brings my Lord into my life at the exact time He needs to be there. Here's another principle. He's going to help me grow. Every time He puts me into and brings me through times of trouble. Simon Peter was impetuous. That means he often acted without thinking. He put his tongue in gear when his mind was still in neutral. He said things before he ought to say them. He did things haphazardly. And so all of a sudden, it doesn't really surprise us that Simon Peter says, "Lord, if that's You walking on the water, You bid me to come to You. I want out of this ship. I want out of this storm. And You are my safety. You are my protection. If it's really You, get me out of the ship and into Your embrace." And Jesus just simply said, "Come to me." And Simon Peter began to step out of the ship and walk on the water. Now, let me just stop and say a couple of things. All my life, I've heard sermons, negatively about Simon Peter because of taking a few steps and then sinking in the water. So here's what I've got to say about that. If you've ever walked on the water, you go right ahead and judge him. But until you do, you recognize that man took a few steps on the water by faith. When his sight fell on the sea and not on the Savior. Did you hear me? When his sight fell on the sea and not on the Savior, he began to sink. Now say that fast sometimes. His sight fell on the sea, not on the Savior, and he began to sink. But as that occurred, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Now, for all of you that think every prayer ought to be loud, long, and lovely, had his been very long, he would have drowned before God reached out and grabbed him. So I can tell you, God hears short prayers. And I'm glad, because in the midst of sinking in life's stormy sea, all I have to do is cry out and say, "Lord," and my daddy hears, and he rushes to the rescue. And the next passage says he takes my hand and he leads me out in the midst of the storm. On the way to Calvary, as I finish out my Christian journey, as I arrive at my own tomb one of these days, I'm going to face storms and trials, troubles and tribulations, but he's going to help me grow deeper in Christ and greater in my faith. He's going to teach me that everything that's over my head is always under his feet. He's going to show me that that which would swallow me is the very pathway that leads him into my life. He's going to convince me that I can get out of the boat. And I can walk on water if I just keep my eyes on the author and the finisher of my faith. A fifth principle is, he's going to see me through. You can't always name the outcome, but you can always praise the Lord. You can't always determine how it's going to turn out. But you can always determine that your response is going to be worship and adoration and praise. It's happened in thousands and millions of lives, but the old preacher Vance Havner, when praying about his dying wife, he, like all of us, asked God to heal her and recover her. It's the constant prayer of every believer, "Lord, let them stay a little longer in my presence." But when she passed away early in the morning time, his next response was this: God did not choose to heal her as I had asked. He chose rather to heal her eternally as he had planned. Did you hear that? He did not choose to heal her as I had asked. A few more days, a few more weeks, maybe a few more months. But rather chose to heal her eternally as he had planned. Be sure, my Christian friend, that in the midst of the storm, God is going to see you through. And there is one final principle here. When the waves have ceased and the wind no longer blows so hard, you're going to praise him again. When they got back in the boat, they worshiped him and they praised him. You're going to praise him again. The smile will return. The joy will come home. And you'll look to Jesus and you'll thank him for deliverance in the midst of the storm. When you face the storms of life, God will see you through. My Bible has a number of poems that I have taped in place because they were meaningful to me. And I simply thought I would close this morning with one that has spoken to my heart on a number of occasions. Have you come to the Red Sea in your life, where in spite of all you can do, there's no way out, and there's no way back, and there's no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the wind. He'll heap the floods. But he'll say to your soul, go on. And his hand will lead you through ere the watery walls roll down. No foe can reach you. No wave can touch. No mighty sea can drown. The tossing billows may rear their crest. Their foam at your feet may break. But over their bed you shall walk dry shod in the path that the Lord doth make. And in the morning watch, neath the lifted cloud, you shall see but the Lord alone. When he leads you on from the place of the sea to a land that you've not yet known. And your fears will pass as your foes have passed, and you shall no more be afraid. You shall sing his praise in a better place, a place that his hand has made. May God bless his word to your heart today. Would you stand? Of course, every time any of your pastors speak, the objective is very simple: to see somebody lost saved, to watch somebody as they commit their lives afresh to the call of God upon them, and to comfort others with the same comfort God has been good to comfort us. So if you're here today without Christ as your Savior, when you face the storms of life, you stand alone. But you don't have to. Jesus will come to you in the midst of the storm. If you're here and you're experiencing a storm this morning, it's not an accident that you're here. God has put you in this place. He's brought you to this service. We've sung these songs and this message has been spoken so that you could know there's hope in Christ and that there's help on the way. And I want to invite you to the altar just to find a praying place. Just a place where you can kneel before God our Maker and say, Lord, lead me through. It's really you. Bid me to come to you. I want out of the ship. I want to walk on the water. It's the fourth hour of the night for some of us. The fourth watch of the night began at 3 a.m. and it lasted until 6. And at 3 and 4 a.m., it's probably the quietest and the darkest and the scariest part of the night. But there he is, walking on the water, praying for his disciples, and coming close. So if you're struggling this morning, just come find you a pastor you can pray with or a place where you can pray alone and ask God to be your strength and your help and your deliverer in the midst of the storm. While we sing together, would you come?
My faith has found a resting place.